Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity to go and live their life on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. You want to learn how to tell and sell your story? Go to tawatson.com, go into the programs and products page, and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing story today? I have with me, joining me, the one and only Shannon Hancock. How you doing, Shannon? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. I appreciate you being here, Shannon. So, our show is about, you know, inspiring others to be the best they can be. I really appreciate you coming in. Tell the listening audience who you are and any latest that's going on with you.
I am Shannon Hancock. As in Shannon Hancock LLC. I own a business, a professional organizing business, as well as I work for a logistics company as a customs broker. And I just recently released my first book.
Congratulations. Awesome.
Thank you.
What's the title of the book?
My Walk Past Hell.
Wow. Wow. And when is it coming out?
It'll be out in late April.
Okay. Where can people find you at if they have questions for you?
They can find me at Shannon at shannonhancock.com, as well as my site, shannonhancock.com.
Okay. What about social media? Any social media they can find you at?
Yes, they can find me. They can find me on social media. I'm listed as my name, Shannon Hancock.
Okay, so she's made it very easy for you to contact. If you're looking for a coach and a speaker, definitely reach out to Shannon Hancock to coach you up and school you up. So, Shannon, as you know, this podcast is about inspiring others to kind of get beyond obstacles and giving them hope and sharing the grit and glory behind just, you know, amazing people like yourself in terms of how we got through obstacles, okay? So I want to start with my first question for you is share with the audience the biggest obstacle you had to overcome personally or professionally in your life.
Personally, I've overcome homelessness.
Wow.
And domestic violence.
Wow.
And in my professional, I've overcame the stereotype of this is a man's world, or, you know, this is a man's job. You can't do this. You're a woman.
Sure.
You know, who is the man here? Who is the man that runs this place?
Right.
It's been told to me 100 times.
Wow. Wow. That's unfortunate that, you know, as women, we're still dealing with that. But as women, you're still dealing with that in 2021 and, you know, even beyond. But you mentioned homelessness. Can you talk to us a little more about that?
Yes. It was the winter of 2007, and I had moved to a new city to take a temporary position. So I wasn't going to be there for long, just a transitional training time frame. And I had been searching for a place to live, and I had found like the perfect thing. Somebody was renting a room, and it was like several different people in one condo, and it was perfect. And everybody worked different shifts, and it was almost like you had your own place because nobody was there at the same time you were.
Sure.
And there was an incident that I ran into there that it didn't work out as originally planned. So it pushed me into homelessness in a city that I was not familiar with. I didn't really know anybody other than just a few people I had worked with. And then, of course, the people that also lived in that same condo with me.
Wow. So when you were homeless, where were you staying at during this time?
After the incident happened, which I go deep dive more into it in my book, I actually was living in my car.
Wow.
And everything that I could fit in my car is what I put in there. And there was like literally enough room for me to be in the front seat, but barely be able to lean it back.
Wow.
You know, to sleep. But it was packed from front to back, side to side. So there wasn't a whole lot of wiggle room, but I managed to keep like the floorboard on the passenger side clear. So that's where I had like blanket and pillow and stuff like that. Wow. So each day I could just fold it up and put it over there. But it was, what I would do is when I got off work, I worked second shift. So when I got off work, I would go to my car, warm it up. Keep in mind, it's cold outside. It's winter, you know, it's November. You know, you're getting at the peak where it's, you know, kind of nice in the day, but kind of brisk at night. And I would start up my car and get it warm enough just for me to stay warm and then cut it off to conserve.
Wow.
And I would park in different parking lots. And I kind of had the schedule of the security down pat. So I knew when they were doing rounds and shift changes and stuff like that. So I'd have my alarm set at different times. So I knew to move my car.
Wow.
That I wouldn't look suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, just a car sitting in a parking lot running, you know, it just kind of looked out of place.
Right. That is incredible, Shannon. And I really appreciate you being honest and transparent with the audience about your story. You know, so I've had a number of guests who have been homeless on our show. And I think you learned a little bit about my story as well. Homelessness looks different to in many different situations. There's
absolutely
a guest who was in an abandoned house. There's another guest who was kind of bouncing around from place to place to place. My situation, I was bouncing around from place to place to place. You were actually in a car. Talk to us about the feelings that you were dealing with emotionally during that time when you found yourself having to leave a stable place to sleep in your car. What were the feelings and emotions you're dealing with then?
You just feel completely ruthless.
Wow.
Like you have no light at the end of the tunnel. You just feel like this is the end. Like there's no more. Like this is, you know, where do I go from here? I can't go further down. Unless I'm just living on the streets. And you just kind of get to the point where you just feel like a lost soul in the shuffle of life.
Yes.
Like there was many nights that I would sit up and I would just pray, God, yeah, please pull me out of this. You know, I'll be obedient. Yeah. I'll do what you ask. I'll follow the rules. I'll just pull me out of this. Just let me just make it through this segment.
Yes.
I'm not going to say my life because I think life is in chapters.
Absolutely.
Just this segment of time. Just help me. Just you know, give me the strength to get where I need to go.
Yes.
To rebuild myself.
Wow. That's pretty powerful. So as you were going through this, what were the coping mechanisms that you turned to kind of help yourself get through? Because obviously you're a successful author today, though. So what were the coping mechanisms that you kind of used to get yourself through this situation? You mentioned prayer. Anything else?
I did a lot of praying. I did a lot of, because I felt like I couldn't turn to family. Yeah. And I felt like I couldn't turn to friends. And I didn't want to feel shamed upon. So I did a lot of reading and like a lot of like uplifting and a lot of just inspirational stuff just to kind of keep myself going. Yes. Mentally, because I knew that I had to keep my mind right to be able to get to the end of my goal.
Right. Absolutely.
And since that's the strongest piece in your whole entire body, I knew that going forward, I had to be stronger than I once was.
Yes.
And I had to take myself and realize, okay, this is not who you are. You're a mom. You have two precious babies. Yeah. How would they feel if they knew where you were or what was going on or what had happened?
Yes.
So it was like, I had to, you know, they always say, pull up your bootstraps, keep moving, you know? And I just kind of felt like you know, those little things that my parents instilled in me over the years just kept tricking back in my head of, you know, this is who you are. You're a strong woman. You're a strong person. You're a strong mother. Mm. You know, of course I wasn't a mother at the time, but you know, my parents always encouraged me. You can be anything you want to be. Just put your mind to it. You can do anything you in this world. And I kept thinking back in my head. So thinking those thoughts, hearing those little voices, reading and just those positive affirmations is what kept me going. Cause I was like, this is not me.
Yeah.
Like, this is not me at all. So it was just, it was hard, but I knew that I had to continue to keep my faith going forward because I had these two little faces each day to look at.
Yes.
You know, they weren't there with me because I was just there, like I said, on a temporary job assignment. Yes. So it was cheaper to rent a room than to stay in a hotel during this time. So I thought, okay, you know, I'm always thinking about money and different things like that. So I thought about, okay, this will be the easiest route to go and maybe the most comfortable.
Right. So were you a parent at this time or you weren't?
I was, yes.
You were okay. So you had two kids. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you think back, did you have a mentor or someone that kind of helped guide you through this process?
At first I did not. Mm-hmm. When everything first happened, I did not have a mentor. Later on, I did get one. He's a very precious soul that kind of fell in my life, and he was exactly what I needed at that point in time. He was a voice. He was somebody that was reasoning, you know, with me and letting me, you know, kind of throw everything on his lap. And he's like, okay, well, let's go ahead and sort this out. This is what I can do. And this is, you know, how we're going to do this. And that's how I'm going to help you work through the situation that you're in.
Yes. Yes. Did he give you any piece of advice that really stood out?
I would say the one piece of advice that he always gave me is you can do this. Okay. You know, emphasis on you can do this.
Yes.
Not we're going to do this. You're going to do this. Yes. And he was always uplifting and always had a positive word to say and always laughing and joking. And he's like, one day you're going to look back at this and you're going to think, God, I made it through that.
Yes.
And he was right. He was absolutely right. But it's like, he was like, I believe that he was placed in my life at that point in time for a reason.
Sure.
And in doing so, he was placed in my life at the exact time that I needed him.
Yes.
I knew at that point it was God's intervention in God's work to bring this man into my life to say, you've got this.
Absolutely.
You're going to make it through.
Yes.
We'll talk about this one day, you know, and he absolutely touched my life beyond belief.
Wow. That's powerful. So during your darkest moments, what kept you fighting? What kept you going? Why didn't you give up and lose hope completely and check out?
Coming from a strong background and strong parents, failure was not an option. Mm. It never has been. Mm-hmm. My dad, being ex-military, he was in the Army, and he's like, you will never give up in your life.
Sure.
It's not an option. Failure is not a word that we use. Mm-hmm. And he never... And even my mom, they would never sit there and say, well, I can't, or I can't do this, or I can't finish. And the thing was, you are going to finish and you are going to do it. And we're going to see the results of it.
That's right.
I can't, I won't. None of those was verbiage that we could use.
Yes.
Failure was not an option in our house.
Wow. That's a great, great advice from your parents, man. That's advice a lot of kids need to hear as well nowadays. How would you say that this situation changed you as a person?
It made me more resilient to other things that I kind of fell into later on after that. Uh-huh. It made me resilient to know that what is coming towards me in the different things I've had to deal with since wasn't my rock bottom. It wasn't the worst. That this is just another segment in my life.
That's right. That's right. That's a great perspective to have, you know. So as you were coming out of this situation, processing, come out of homelessness, what have you, to where you are today, as you look back, would you do anything differently in terms of your journey?
Getting to I would.
What would you do differently?
I am the type of person that I trust and I love everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that going into the same thing again, even though it made me who I am today, that I would be more resilient to trusting somebody and just follow, just being by myself instead of obviously being in a place where there are several other people.
Right, absolutely.
I think that that's important that you follow your heart, but you also follow your gut.
Yeah. That's great.
And that has since then, it's never let me down. You know, I've always followed my gut instinct from then on, but I also, it didn't harden my heart. I still have a soft heart, but I just kind of think things through a little bit further.
Right.
You know, kind of, you know, from A to Z and have a battle plan, always have a plan, always have a goal and always have, you know what your ending you want to look like beforehand.
Yeah. That's powerful. Yeah. And, you know, so trusting can be a thing that we want to do, but we got to go on with our eyes open as well. So Shannon, we're coming off 2020, where a lot of people have lost homes. They lost loved ones. They lost finances. Some of them lost hope. What advice can you give those folks out there that a brighter day is going to come?
Never give up. Never give up. Hmm. Never give up. This is a segment in an entire series.
Yes.
You know, this is just a small piece of your life.
Yes.
And a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, people bounce back stronger than they ever were when they went into it.
Yes. That is awesome and great advice. So folks out there, if you're not pumped up, you don't see the value of having a great coach or speaker like Shannon. I'm not sure what's going on with you, but great advice. Shannon, again, if people want to contact you, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
The best way to get in contact me is through my website or through my email, shannon@shannonhancock.com. I will answer you right away. It's not going to be an automated message. It'll actually be something from myself. So I will answer each and every person personally. And just know that you make a difference. And you literally make a difference. And you can make a difference in anybody's life every
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
Smile every day and you will always be beautiful.
Very
That's
well
always
said.
Been my motto.
Yes. I love it. And a great model to live by. And I think a lot of folks will be inspired by those words of encouragement out there.
So absolutely.
Shannon, we talked about some of the hard stuff. Are you ready to have some fun now?
Yes, absolutely. Let's go.
All right. Okay. So this is the part of our show called our rapid fire purpose questions. I'm going simply give you some questions that are about purpose. I'm not going to elaborate on any of the questions. I want you to give me and the audience your best answer.
Okay.
Need some water before we get going?
Sure. Let's water. Go.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, Shannon, tell us how you turned a dream into reality.
A dream into reality. I had a dream of being a business owner. Mm. And now I'm a business owner.
Wow.
The dream was, I'm an OCD person. I'm very organized. And I believe that everybody needs some type of sort of organization. Might not be my style, but let's work on your style.
That's right. What gives your life meaning?
What gives my life meaning is my family.
If money wasn't an issue for you, what would you do with your time?
I would travel the world and learn about different cultures.
What word best describes you?
Brilliant.
Okay. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Hunger.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Spend time with my brothers.
And I have a surprise for you guys at the end around that response that Shannon just gave as well. So Shannon, you remind me to give that response.
Okay.
Yes. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Spend time with my kids.
Okay. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
I would be a lawyer in New York City in a sky-rise studio apartment with a cat wearing heels and hose every day.
I love it. If you had to teach someone something, what would you teach them?
To be patient.
Okay. Who inspires you the most?
My mom and dad.
What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
Wow. That I like to read instructions and directions and occasionally a book.
That's pretty good there. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
I want to travel.
What's something you'll spend time doing no matter what?
I'm always educating myself on something. So learning, okay. Learning something new.
What's something you want your grandchildren to say about you?
To say about me?
Yes.
That my grandma was my heart.
Okay. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
To be able to take away people's pain.
That's good. I like that. If I were to walk around your house right now, what clues would reveal to me what it is that you love?
Family, pictures.
Okay. What do you love to learn about?
I love to learn about different cultures and different people. I love people. I love people. So,
what sparks your creativity?
Music.
Okay. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
I would actually pass a law that everybody gets treated equally. Okay. Pay, promotions, positions, stuff like that.
Love it. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Someone for dead or alive.
Either way.
I would probably follow around Oprah because she's amazing.
Okay. I'm sure a lot of people would love to join you on that day. Yes. What do you love to do for others?
I love to give.
Okay. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
My children is the best gift God gave me.
What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
Best compliment. Oh gosh. That I'm down to earth, maybe?
Okay. That's
a good one. I'm funny. Okay. Everybody tells me I'm funny.
That's a good one. What's one thing you have never been afraid to do?
To live life to the fullest.
Okay. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
Probably receiving the Quill and Scroll reward in the state of Virginia for writing.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What does success look like for you?
Success to me is a good work-home-life balance. That is success.
Good. For the people who know you best, what would they say your purpose is in life?
My purpose in life is to help people. I want to say help people. I'm a very big advocate on helping.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you need help with, I'm always jumping in.
Love it. What are you most grateful for?
Life. This breath I take every day.
Yes.
Waking up in the morning.
Yes, great answer. What has been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
To never let yourself stumble and not allow yourself to get up.
I love it. Resilience at its best. And last but not least, Shannon, how do you want to be remembered in history?
Not that woman that could, but that woman that did.
Oh, good answer. You survived, Shannon. Great job. Give yourself a round of applause. Woo! Excellent job there. Excellent job. So, folks, I told you I had a surprise for you at the end of the show here, okay? So, Shannon, this is yes. My connection to Shannon, okay? Folks, Shannon's brother is my mom's brother. Can you believe that? Say it one more time. Shannon's brother is my mom's brother. And I'm not going to go into the long of this story here, but I'll kind of give you kind of a brief overview. My mother's youngest brother was adopted when he was very young. She never got a chance to meet him. And coincidentally, he was adopted by Shannon's stepmother, who brought her, who brought him in, and they grew up in the mountains of Colorado. Right, Shannon?
Yes.
And I just happened to be on this another podcast show doing an interview, and Shannon just happened to be the engineer, and I was talking about my story, and she was telling her niece, who was my, technically my uncle's daughter, about a new relative that she had met. Well, she was talking to her niece, and the niece mentioned a new relative that she had met. Lo and behold, the niece was my first cousin, her niece, and we're connected. So I don't, that is probably very confusing. We're going to come out and talk about this one day, but lo and behold, her brother is my mother's brother, and we're connected though. So I'm glad we are connected though as well. Shannon, you want to say anything about that before we're going to close things up?
Realizing and connecting the dots was one of the most beautiful things in my life, because coming from a family where you do have children that are adopted in, and of course having that blended family, I always thought we were normal. Apparently we weren't. But to know that we were able to make and connect the dots for my brother, it just makes my heart just happy.
Yes,
just that connection alone, because it's like you always wonder as a kid, okay, who do I look like? Do I look like my mom? Do I look like my dad? You know, where did I come from? Right. You know, what's my background? You know, what's my, you know, whatever. And the thing about it is my brother never had that.
Yes.
He didn't look like his mom, nor did he look like his dad, because both of his parents were Caucasian.
Yeah.
So how do you look at that and say, where do I come from? Why am I different? And we were able to connect those dots. And it was always from early on that we always were like, if you want to look for your biological family, we are totally good with that. Hmm. We're going to embrace the situation and we're going to love it. And for it to actually come to light and be able to connect those dots, it just makes my heart just sing.
It is absolutely amazing. It turns out that Tafari, her brother, is actually 2 weeks older than myself. So again, my mother didn't get a chance to meet him, but it's great connecting with him and Shannon and the other family members as well. So folks out there, we're going to be talking more about that later on. It's going to be another book to come later on though. But if you're looking for an amazing speaker, coach, you got to reach out to Shannon Hancock. Shannon, one more time, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
By reaching me through my website or my email, shannon@shannonhancock.com or www.shannonhancock.com.
Awesome. So Shannon, last words, the purpose of our podcast is to really get people to focus on resiliency and purpose. What last words can you leave our audience around resiliency and purpose?
Resiliency and purpose, I would say you have a purpose, but you have to be resilient to what comes to you.
Yes.
And what life has thrown at you.
Yes. Yes. I love it.
Life throws you tomatoes, you make salsa.
That's right. That's right. I love it. Plain and simple, folks. You got to be resilient to get to your purpose. I love it. Thank you for sharing that as well. Folks out there, if you are someone who's an overcomer with an amazing story, we want to hear from you. Please go to tawatson.com, subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories, download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. Everyone, Shannon Hancock, thank you for joining me today. Folks out there, thanks for tuning in. Everyone, God bless. Peace.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.